Back at the ballpark for the fourth inning, the first man at bat for the Cubs is Billy Herman, and he fouls the first pitch up against the front of the second deck or up above on the right of the plate for strike one. One strike on Bill. Stratton winding up again. Throws and the hitter takes a high one wide for ball one. So it's one ball and one strike on Herman. White Sox leading 3-1 in the fourth inning. Stratton waits out there again. Has the side. He starts to wind up. Throws and the hitter takes the ball inside across the chest. And it's two balls and one strike on Billy Herman. 2-1 the count. Two and one is the count, and the hitter swings again to miss a high pass ball inside for strike two. And it's two balls and two strikes on Billy Herman. Two and two the count. Stratton throws again, and Bill swings to hit the ball. Dyke takes it to his left, throws hard to first, and Herman is out easily for the second out in the fourth inning. Oh, wait a minute. First out in the fourth inning. I'm getting ahead of myself because I just started to look back. Herman has been completely stopped by the Sox pitchers in the two games so far. He got a walk in the sixth inning yesterday, but hasn't been on base yet today in two tries. And Demery is at bat. Frank watches the first one come over the heart of the plate, waist high for a strike. One strike on Demery. And the next one's wide and low for ball one. So the count is one ball and one strike. One and one the count. The hitter fouls this next one into the second deck down in front of us, a little to our right. And it's one ball and two strikes. One and two on Demery. Stratton throws once more. Frank gets another ball high and wide, making it two balls and two strikes. Two and two the count. Monty goes back to use the rosin bag this trip, then comes back onto the rubber once more. And they're getting a sign. Starts to wind up. And pitches and the hitter swings the high foul, going into the stands, back at first base. Minora comes over in his, what compose is that? Number seven, that one with his hand in the air as he comes over there. But anyway, he was shading his eyes from the sun, and ball landed pretty well back in the seats out of his reach. It's still two balls and two strikes. Run two on Frank, and he hits the next for another foul into the stand to the right of the plate. Misses the second deck, goes into the lower. Two balls and two strikes. Run two the count. And he hits the next, a high bounder, and Mr. Dyke grabs for it, but it takes a high bounce. A nasty one hits his glove. Rounds up back of Appling, and the runner is safe at first base on what I imagine is a hit. Because it took a very, very bad hop just as it was about to get there, yeah. It's a base hit for Demery. Puts Frank on first base, one out in the fourth inning. And Stanley Hackett bats. Stratton gets ready to pitch the first one, throws. And Stan hits the ball hard out into left center. Rosenthal dashes over there and makes a very, very nice running catch. And throws the ball into second base to chase the runner back to first. For some reason or other, they didn't have Hack figured just right there, I'm afraid, because Rosenthal was playing in dead center field instead of left center where they usually play Stan. As a result, he had to do a terrific lot of running to get through that ball and make a sensational catch, but Hack hit the ball right in his usual groove. And now Hartnett takes the first pitch high and inside for ball one. One ball called. Emery on first base, two out of the fourth inning. One ball called on Hartnett. Who looks the ball over, throws it back out to Stratton. Marty ready again, throws. Gabby hits the ball on the line, and Appling leaps into the air to make a one-handed catch, and it's three out. Luke Appling leaps high into the air to make a one-handed stab of what looked like a sure line drive that time, And the White Sox defense, again, is pulling this club along because Mr. Stratton has not been especially a better pitcher than Warnke, but he's had much the better support, particularly in the case of Warnke himself. So it's no runs, one hit, one man left on base. In the fourth inning for the Cubs, score is still 3-1 in favor of the White Sox. Sox have batted in the last half of the fourth with Jackie Hayes, the first man up. Warnke's been out there warming up with Ken O'Day. Hartnett standing right back at Ken. And here is Jackie Hayes walking up there at the plate to be the first man at bat in the fourth inning. Hayes up there. Pitcher winds up, throws the first one, and Hayes takes it inside and low for ball one. You people probably heard this on the switchback to the studio, but the crowd's cheering when the third inning score of the Yankee-Giant game goes up, which shows one of those old Yankee innings. And here's a wide one low for ball two, and the count is 2-0 on Jackie Hayes. First man at bat in the fourth inning for the White Sox. Again, winding up, throws, and it's a high one inside for ball two. Rather over the inside corner across the chest for strike one.
Cut and look at the plate, not off that scoreboard. That isn't going to help any.
2-1, and there's strike two. The hitter fouls the ball back to the screen, and the count is 2 balls and 2 strikes. 2-2 the count. Two and two with the pitcher ready once more. Again, starts to wind up, throws, and Jackie fouls this ball into the stand to the right of the plate. And it's 2-2, 2 balls and 2 strikes still on Jackie Hayes. Ernie?
Well, City Series Ernie's here.
How you doing, Ernie?
Coffee looks all right.
2-2 is the count, and Hayes swings the next hit, a high foul to the right of the plate. Cabaretta's coming in from first base and makes the catch just about halfway between first base and the bench, and then he threw the ball to Hartnett, who threw it back clear past him, and it goes on down the right field line where one of the boys from the bench kept it and throws it on in. And Jimmy Dyke steps up there to the plate. Dyke's up there at the plate with one out of the fourth inning. Warnke starts to wind up, throws, and Jim swings, hit a high bounder. Jurgis backs up and goes to his right a little, takes the ball, throws to first. Everett made a swell stretch into the infield. He got that ball just off the ground and way into the infield, but Dyke is out for the second out. That makes it 2 out of the 4th inning for the Sox, and Luke Sewell is at bat. Sewell up there at the plate with 2 out of the 4th inning for the White Sox. Throws the first one. Luke takes a good strike over the heart of the plate about waist high. One strike on Sewell. Warnke again starts to wind up. Throws and the hitter takes strike two. Luke doesn't like that and slaps the bat on the ground a second and turns his back on the umpire. Ball just barely knee high. It seemed to be over the heart of the plate. Luke must have thought it was a little bit low. So it's 2 strikes on Sewell with the pitcher winding up again. He throws and the hitter takes a ball. It's over the plate, but this time it was too low, and the count is 1 ball and 2 strikes on Luke. White Sox leading 3-1, last half of the fourth inning. Warnke again winding up, throws, and it's ball two, wide and low. So it's 2 balls and 2 strikes. 2-2 on Luke. Uh, And the hitter starts to swing at the next, but he tried to stop, but he went on through with it, striking out for the third out. Tried to stop that swing, but the ball was the bat had started around too hard, and he couldn't pull up on it. And so he strikes out for the third out in the fourth inning. No runs, no hits in the fourth inning for the Sox. And the score is still 3-1 in favor of the White Sox. Cubs coming to bat in the first half of the fifth inning with Johnny Gill, the first man up.
Should I shoot this red hot before I eat it, George? You think it'd be safer?
I don't know. It doesn't seem to be particularly alive.
This one tastes pretty good, I'll guarantee that.
I wonder how I sound when I talk with my mouth full.
You're working? Well, that mouthful was good. I don't know when I'll get back the next one.
I am working here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gill hits the first pitch, an easy bounder down to Hayes, who gets it and throws the first base. And Johnny is out for the first out in the fifth inning, bringing Bill Jurgis to bat. Stratton winds up now, throws the first one, and Jurgis swings, hit a hard bounder down to Appling, who gets it nicely, throws the first, and Jurgis is out easily for the second out. That makes it two out in the fifth inning for the Cubs, and the next man up there, Warnke, the Cubs pitcher, is walking slowly up from the bench. Gets a nice hand from the fans. It seems to look very much as though that very costly throw of his may mean the ball game if something doesn't happen, because since then he gone along in great style, only one scratch hit being made off him. And the first pitch to Warnke is a wide one for a ball. Stratton waits there for the next sign, has it. He's winding up. Throws, and Dick gets ball two. It's inside across the way. And the count is 2-0. Two balls and no strikes on Warnke. Stratton winding up, throws once more, and he gets that one over the outside corner, letter high for a strike. And it's two balls and one strike on Warnke. Two out for the Cubs in the fifth. White Sox leading 3-1. There's ball three, a wide one low, and it's three balls and one strike on Warnke. 3-1 the count. Again, the wind-up pitch, and the hitter hits the ball, a slow bounder down to Dykes, who gets it, throws the first base, and Warnke is out for the out. So Hayes, Appling, and Dykes all had a hand in retiring the side that time on throws to Benora. No runs, no hits in the first half of the fifth inning. And the White Sox still lead the Cubs by a score of 3-1. Sox is bad in the last half of the fifth with Monty Stratton, the pitcher, the first man up.
There goes another mouthful. The way this kid's been pitching since he got back in that lineup, after all the operations and things, begins to look more and more as though the illness that caused him all that stay in the hospital and the long layoff to recover his strength and get back in shape may have cost the White Sox not only second place, but possibly more, because he certainly has been a great pitcher since he got back in there, as he was before he was taken ill. Stratton at bat, Warnke's first pitch is a strike over the heart of the plate, waist high. One strike on Stratton. And Warnke winds up, throws again. Monty swings and hits the ball hard. And Herman makes a great backhanded stop back at second base. He got the ball, throws the first. Cavaretta drops it, and the runner is safe. Herman made a wonderful stop back at second base. A great backhanded stop through to first. The throw is out there. There's an error charge, but they haven't told us yet who the is charged with it, whether Cavaretta for dropping the ball or Herman on the throw. Sierra is charged to Cavaretta for dropping the ball. It was a marvelous play by Herman, but Bill dropped the ball. So Stratton's on first base, nobody out of the fifth. Radcliffe hits the bounder down to Jurgis, who gets it, flips it to Billy Herman. He was ready to throw to first, but the ball had been hit so slowly that Radcliffe was practically at first base, and Bill held the ball, letting Radcliffe reach first without a throw. He didn't have a chance of getting his man. So Radcliffe's on first base with one out of the fifth inning, and Rosenthal is at bat. Warnke watches first base throws, and the hitter takes the curveball wide and low for ball one. Pitcher ready out there again. Throws, and Rosenthal fouls the ball back into the front of the second deck down below us, and it bounds back down into the field. It's one and one. One and one is the count now on Rosenthal, left-handed hitter. Warnke waits there again for the sign. Swings around as he gets it. And pitches, and the hitter swings it, a long foul, way down the left field line, back underneath the second deck, and it's one ball and two strikes. Warnke steps up onto the slab again, watches the plate, looks at first, then pitches, and the hitter hits the ball out through into left field for a base hit. Jurgis, who was playing pretty well to his left, couldn't get a hold of it because he had a long way to go, and as a result, the ball goes through into left field for Rosenthal's second hit of the day and fourth hit of the series. So the White Sox have runners on first and second with one out in the fifth inning, and Mulehaus at bat. Warnke ready now. Back at second base and throws, and Haas takes a wide one that was curving toward the plate but didn't curve soon enough. And it's ball one. One ball called. Warnke throws again for ball two. It's wide and low, and the count is 2-0 on Haas. Two balls and no strike. White Sox runners on first and second. One out. In the White Sox are leading the Cubs by a score of 3-1. And a pitcher stands there waiting again. Swings right, takes another look back at second base. Then throws, and it's a strike over the heart of the plate about waist high to make the count 2-1 on Hart. Two balls and one strike. Two balls and one strike. The pitcher waiting again. Warnke has the sign, steps on the slab. Back at second. And throws, and the hitter swings, hit a foul. It's just up onto the roof of the stand above third base. Almost hit the front of the roof, but just eased up over it. And it's 2-2. Two balls and two strikes on Haas.
Like old times, smelling that pipe, George.
Mm-hmm. I find I can still stand it. I don't know. 2-2 is the count, but she throws again, and the hitter swings to foul the ball back to the screen. It's still two balls and two strikes on Haas. Remember, White Sox runners on first and second, one out of the fifth inning. White Sox leading by a score of 3-1. Warnke uses the rosin bag again, rubs up the ball. Around the runners, then steps onto the slab, and is getting his sign. And pitches, and the hitter hits the ball hard toward left field. Jurgis comes up with it nicely, throws to second. Herman's throw to first, completes a double play, although Cavaretta had to make a sensational reaching catch away out to the right. A very fast and long double play. One of those plays that had to be made lightning fast or had been too late. And Cavaretta redeemed himself that time after having let the first man get the base by dropping a throw. He made a very fine play to reach way out to the right and get Herman's hasty throw to first to complete that one. So it's no run, one hit, one error, and one man left on base in the last half of the fifth inning, and the score is still 3-1 in favor of the White Sox at the end of the fifth inning. Now, I think, Fred, you've got a little message to say again, huh?
Yes, I have, Hal Totten. You know, you've been saying that things were coming across the letters all afternoon, so supposing we say a few letters like this is the voice of labor. WCFL, Chicago.
Oh, I guess I see what you got to do to be a studio announcer. You got to be able to come up with things like that, quickies, huh?
Oh,
I get it. Should have taken longer, though, Fred. I'm still chewing. Here we go in the sixth inning. Galanis bat started off with the Cubs. And the first pitch is too low. It's ball one. One ball on Galan. White Sox leading 3-1. Augie swings the next. It's a high fly into center field. Rosenthal's going back. And he's under it now. Has it. It's one out in the sixth inning. One out of the sixth inning for the Cubs. And Cavaretta is at bat. Joe Cavaretta up there at the plate. Yeah, Mr. Rosenthal was throwing divots as he raced back to that one. Stopped up. Stratton throws the first one, and Phil swings at a high one. Tried to get around on it, but he topped it and hit it down toward the first base coach's box where Johnny Corden gets. Throws it back to the pitcher. It's one strike on Cavaretta. Bat with one out for the Cubs in the sixth inning. Stratton throws again, and Phil takes the curve ball inside and low. The ball bounced into the air out of the catcher's glove. Landed out in front of the plate. And the pitcher winds up once more, throws the hitter, swings, and fouls the ball back to the screen. And it's one and two, one ball and two strikes. One and two now with the pitcher ready again. He winds up, throws, and Phil lines the ball into center field for a base hit. A single to center field by Cavaretta, putting him on first base with nobody out in the sixth inning. And Billy Herman up there at the plate. Billy, who hasn't had a base hit in the series so far and who had a terrific pump at the end of the season, making only about two hits in his last five or six games. Herman at bat, one out of the sixth inning. Cavaretta on first base. Score 3-1 in favor of the White Sox. And Herman takes the first pitch in by his shoulders for ball one. One ball called. It's ready again. Throws for a strike. A beauty over the heart of the plate. Just about letter high, and the hitter let it go by. So it's 1-1. One and one is the count. And there is a ball wide and low, making it two balls and one strike on Billy Herman. 2-1. Once again, the pitch is ready. He throws and the hitter swings a high foul coming back toward us. Lands just in front of us in the second. Fan caught it there and of course is catching it. Landed him kerplunk back in his chair there. And it's 2-2 on Billy Hammond. Two balls and two strikes. Outfielder's playing him fairly deep, a little bit to the right. Hoss is playing him pretty well toward the line. And Rosenthal a little bit toward right center. And the next one, Herman tried to get away from it, but the ball curved in and hit him on the right wrist or right hand. Charlie Grimm comes tearing in from the coach's box and apparently hurt him pretty much. And Luke Sewell bends over him. Stratton comes in to take a look. And the trainer, Andy Lotshaw, comes running in. Woody English, the captain, running out of the bench up there at the plate. That ball seemed to sail as it got up there at the plate. Here comes Doc Davis now, the club physician. Well, they'll have a real delegation up there. And Herman shows any signs of being hurt that way. You can count on it. He's plenty hurt because he's one of these boys that doesn't show much in the way of emotion when he gets bumped or cut or anything else. And that ball seemed to hang out there in front of him. He started to step one way and then another, and then it shot in toward him and hit him. Doc Davis is now working on his wrist to see whether it might possibly be fractured, or if he can see any signs of it, he'll go right out of there. And they're all standing around. In the meantime, Cabaretta had gone to second base and is standing out there talking to Appling. Hayes also there. Herman walks away from the crowd and stands there, leans over on his knee. Charlie Grimm talking to him, telling him if he doesn't feel all right to get out of there. And Billy probably wants to stay in. Stratton starts back to the mound to throw a few to Sewell. Keep loosened up there while the rest of the boys still gather around. Jimmy Dykes, the manager of the Sox, is also up there, taking a big look, and Benora's in there also. Herman finally decides to go on down to first base. That right arm is hanging alongside of him. He walks down there, but he gets a nice hand. Benora walking alongside of him, the two of them talking. But he finally reaches first base. And the next man up there is Frank Demery. Now the White Sox start a couple of pitches warming up in the bullpen. Kane and the inevitable Mr. Brown warming up out there. And here is Demery at bat. Cub runners on first and second, one out in the sixth inning. And Demery hits the first one, a line drive to Hayes, who gets it, throws back to Benora for a double play. A line smash right into Hayes' hands. He didn't have to move out of his tracks to get it. And a quick throw to first base. Doubles Herman and ends the threat just like that. Bang, without any delay at all. It's no runs, one hit, one man left on base in the first half of the sixth inning. And the score is still 3-1 in favor of the White Sox. White Sox at bat in the last half of the sixth with Benora the first man up there. Benora the first man at bat. That ball was really tagged. That's the kind of a ball that all the New York writers cry about every time DiMaggio hits one and it gets caught. Always a foot to the right or a foot to the left, and it would have been a two-base hit. Trouble is, a foot to the right or a foot to the left doesn't mean a thing if you hit it right at somebody. Woody English is going in to play second base now, and Billy Herman tried to throw a ball, couldn't control it, and is walking off. English is playing second base. That injury was just too much for Billy. And Herman gets a hand as he walks off the field. Pitcher Warnke out there gets his time, starts, throws, and the hitter hits the ball right to a good hard line single. That ball all but back right up. Warnke is good with him. And the first base with nobody out by the dock for the White Sox. The White Sox league leading hitter, major league leading hitter, shortstop, right-handed hitter is at bat. Benora on first base, Appling up there at the plate with nobody out in the sixth inning. Warnke ready, pitches, and Appling drives the ball into right field for another base hit. Right fielder Demery grabs the ball, fumbles it, but picks it up again, and Benora turns and goes back to second base. And it's Appling's second hit of the game and third hit of the series. So the White Sox have runners on first and second, nobody up. And Jackie Hayes is up there at the plate. Boy who has done great work the latter part of the season and proved at least he's justified things I said about him for 3 or 4 years when he really had his chance and got in there and could bear down. What a second baseman and tough hitter he is, although not only tough this year, he hit 312 for the season, which is a lot of hits. Cubs again start Henshaw warming up and Root. Henshaw and Root warming up in the right field bullpen. And the Sox are keeping a pitcher warmed up down their side of the field. Kane. And now Hayes bunts the first one. Hack gets it, throws the first. English getting over there to take the throw on the sacrifice. And it moves the runners to second and third. With only one out of the sixth inning. And Jimmy Dykes, always dangerous in a pinch, is up there at the plate. Now we have one of those tough pitchers in the pinch against a tough hitter in the pinch. and we'll see what happens. The infield playing in partway to the infield grass, not all the way, and they're going to walk Dykes and take a chance on Sewell. Going to walk Dykes on purpose. It isn't so much to take a chance on Sewell as it is to get the bases full where force plays are possible. As it is now, there's no chance of a force play, and so they want to get those bases full for that reason and gamble on that proposition. There's the fourth ball, and Dykes got the base on off. He took the fourth one wide. Gabby started to throw the ball to third as Dykes walked across in front of him. He didn't intend to, and so Dykes turned around and acted as though he was going to be real mad at Gabby, and as he swung the bat back of him to throw it to the bat boy, he swung it right across in front of Leo, and that caused a laugh from everybody. Now the bases are full with one out in the sixth inning, and Luke Sewell, another dangerous boy with the bases occupied out there, takes the first pitch inside and low for a ball. The infielders have moved back. That is the second baseman and shortstop moved back. First and third baseman still in fairly close. He winds up once more, throws, and the hitter hits a beauty into center field for a base hit. And Galland races over to get it. One run in, second run scoring. Dykes pulling up at third base. And a sharp single to center field by Sewell. Scores Benura. Scores Appling. And puts Dykes on third base. So the White Sox have runners on first and third. One out. Two runs home in the sixth inning. They're now leading the Cubs by a score of 5-1. The same score by which they won yesterday. And Monty Stratton, White Sox pitcher, is coming up there to the plate. Stratton at bat. Old Lucius Luke, same way as he did all through the season. When there were runs out there to score, you could almost always count on Sewell getting a hold of one, hitting it somewhere. Stratton hits the first pitch, a drive into left field for another base hit. Gill is coming down there, the runner from first going for third. Gill gets the ball, throws it into third base. The runner bound slides in, and the ball bounds out past third base. Jurgis gets over there, gets it, but Stratton slides into second base. Ball bounded and hit the runner as he slid into third. And then as Hack stood there looking for it, Stratton tore for second. Jurgis had to come all the way over to get the ball and throw it to second base. And as a result, the runners are on second and third with another run home. And Mr. Stratton still appearing as a base hitter of considerable worth and merit, as he did in that last game of the season. George, did you notice whether they called an error on that throw-in or not? Did anybody look up to see? And now, Henshaw.
On who?
Error on Hack. For heaven's sake, they called an error on Hack, and he never had the ball in his hands. How do you figure that out?
Well, all right.
Henshaw is coming in now into the infield to leave Warnke. And Lon turns and starts over to the dugout. And Henshaw, Little Roy, who is a Southsider, lived out here in this part of town and went to school out here at the University of Chicago, is now pitching for the Cubs. White Sox have three runs home, one out, still have runners on second and third. And Ratcliffe is the next hitter, Henshaw finishing the warm-up, faces Ratcliffe now. Ratcliffe up there. Henshaw starts to wind up, throws, and it's a bad ball, wide and low for ball one. Waits out there again, winds up once more. And there's ball two, another ball that breaks too wide, and the count is 2-0. Two balls and no strikes. Roy waiting there for the next sign. Has it, he winds up and pitches for ball three, another ball that curves altogether too wide and low, and it's 3-0. Now, in addition to the fact that Root has stopped warming up and Bryant is warming up for the Cubs. Henshaw gets his sign, winds up again. Throws, and the hitter takes strike one. It's over the heart of the plate, just a little below the waist. Two run the count to 3-1. Three balls and one strike. And ball four comes by wide and low. Ratcliffe gets the base on balls and the bases are full. Rosenthal up there now. Rosenthal at bat. Already the leading hitter of the series and robbed one hit a little while ago on a good fielding play. Made two hits so far today, two yesterday. Larry Rosenthal at bat. And the first pitch curves pretty wide and low for ball one. Coming up there at the plate and then curved very sharply and way outside. So it's one ball called. Hinshaw waits out there again, gets the sign, winds up, throws for a strike over the inside corner waist high to make the count one ball and one strike on Rosenthal. 1-1 the count. Hinshaw winds up again, pitches the hitter, fouls the ball above into the left of the plate, into the second deck, and it's 1-2. One ball and two strikes on Rosenthal. 1-2 the count. Waiting out there again. Takes quite a while. Finally starts to wind up. Throws, and Larry swings hit a ball hard down to Cabaretta, who grabs for it. And it bounds away from him and gets back to English, who throws the first to get the runner. But the runner is safe. Cabaretta, after fumbling the ball, started after it, but English waved him back to first. And by the time he got back there, the runner is safe, and it's charged as another error for Cabaretta, who missed tagging the bag. That rule is definitely covered. When a man fails to tag a base, why, he is charged with an error. And now here is Mule Haas at bat. Haas up there at the plate. Pitch for a ball wide, base is still full. Winds up again, throws, and it's a wide one low for ball two, and Hartner turns around, speaks a little piece about that one. Four runs home this inning. White Sox now leading 7-1. Jurgis comes over and talks to Henshaw for a moment. Roy throws again, and it's a strike over the heart of the plate above knee high, and Mule naturally playing the string out of ways, let it go by. So it's 2-1. Infield playing in very close. Bases full. Only one out, four runs home in the sixth. Henshaw again winding up, throws, and it's very wide and low for ball three. Way, way outside, and it's three balls and one strike. 3-1 on Hart. Henshaw waiting out there again. Winds up. Throws, and Mule gets ball four. It's wide, and a run is forced across the plate. The run is forced home as Haas walks. He's fifth run of the inning, and the White Sox lead 8-1. And English walks in to talk to Hartnett a moment and looks over toward the bench as though they may expect Bryant to come in there. Base is still full. Five runs home in the sixth inning. English is talking to umpire Ormsby, who turns to tell the field announcer what to announce, and the pitcher starts in from the right field bullpen. Hartnett's out there talking to Henshaw, leaning on his shoulder. Roy just, frankly, he had a curveball breaking off today. It was just about as tough a looking curveball as I've looked at for a long time. But he didn't have control of it, and Henshaw is one of these type of young pitchers that if the control isn't there, he doesn't have much chance of going anywhere. He had that ball breaking a foot to a foot and a half many times, never less than 6 or 8 inches, and breaking a little bit too far away from the plate. As a result, he was in the hole most of the time and ended up by walking that man to force in a run. However, there was a chance of his being out of the inning if Cabaret had fielded the ball hit right at him.
He wasn't charged with an error on that, but he was charged with an error when he failed to touch first after taking throwback of the play of the ball from English. Now Clay Bryant, big husky right-handed pitcher, is out there on the mound finishing his warm-up. Finishes the warm-up and is ready now as Zeke Benora steps up at the plate. Clay takes a look around, see where everybody's playing out there. Now gets ready to pitch the first one to Benora. Winds up, throws, and Zeke takes the curveball wide for ball one. One ball called. Ready again, starts to wind up, throws, and it's ball two. It's over the plate, but too low on the count. It's 2-0 on Benora. Two and nothing is the count, but the pitcher ready again. And they're watching the plate, gets his sign, he's winding up. And throws, and Zeke jumps back to take the third ball, a bad one, and he may walk to force in another run. The count. And the next one comes down the middle for a strike. Oh, Zeke put on a big act that time. Started for first base. The ball was cut the heart of the plate waist high. Couldn't have been more of a strike anywhere. It's 3-1, three balls and one strike on Benora. Bryant rubbing up the ball again. And ball four comes inside, and Zeke also gets the base on ball. And another run is forced across the plate. Sixth run of the inning. Bringing Luke Appling to bat, with the White Sox leading now by a score of 9-1 in the sixth inning. White Sox leading 9-1. I guess they saw what the Yankees did down there in New York and decided they had to put on a big inning too, huh? Luke Appling up there. Bryant starts to wind up. Throws, and Luke takes a high one inside for ball one. A slow ball, change of pace. Root is warming up now for the Cubs again. He's winding up, throws once more, and it's a strike. Curveball breaking away from the hitter. Caught the inside corner about waist high to make it 1-1. One and one. It's the next one. A beauty into left center for a base hit. Two more runs are scoring. The runner first, carrying for third, and Gill's throw is very wide. By the time Hack recovers it, Appling has raced to second. Line singled to left center by Appling, scoring Rosenthal and Haas. With two more runs, eight runs this inning. White Sox now leading by a score of 11-1, and they still have runners on second and third.